Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Project U Radio, a project of the Literary Underground, and I am Lynn Alexander, and it is Thursday night, and we're here the way we usually are on Thursday nights. We've been doing this show, a couple months now, and, you know, we're kind of happy because the Literary Underground obviously is much more than just the radio shows. It's a resource. It's just, you know, got a bunch of information, a wiki, press release center, just a bunch of stuff. But getting back to the radio, we're pretty happy because we now have three different shows going on. We have the Draconian Vampire Tunnel with Frankie Metro, and that's on really late Tuesday night. Actually, if you're on the East Coast, it's on Wednesday. And we have Your Mother's Medicine Cabinet, which is Frank Reardon's interview show where he interviews different writers in small press. Ask some things. They read some of their work, talk about their books. So that's three shows. And, you know, who knows? We might have another one coming. We'll have to wait and see. Tonight, actually, we have, and I will bring him on in a second. Tonight, we are trying, you know, we're always trying to do something a little bit different. We're always trying to change things up a little. And we're doing a live show from the Telegraph in Oakland. And, you know, I'm not making any promises. I'm not exactly sure with the technology and the different, you know, the different things that can go wrong. But you know what? We'll think positively, and you know, I'm sure it'll be fine. I believe that that's the plan. And one of the things that hopefully will be discussed in the course of this sort of spontaneous, you know, live action event will be the Beast Crawl, which is a literary a lit crawl, basically a festival that'll be taking place in Oakland in July. So yeah, good things. So you know what? While I make sure that Paul is ready to go with that, I'm going to be playing. You know, we don't tend to play a lot of music on here. Not that we don't want to or we're opposed to it. We just, I guess, don't have the wherewithal. But we're going to start doing more of that because, you know, I kind of like doing that, putting some music tracks up. But this is Three Times Bad, and while I get Paul ready, I'm going to go ahead and put that on.
Thank you.
And that was three times bad. I'm going to go ahead and see if I can get Paul on here. Are you with us, Paul, at the Telegraph?
I should be. You should be able to hear me. Can you hear me?
Oh, we absolutely can hear you. I was just playing a little three times bad. You know, they will be at Toxic Abatement in July and a bunch of other events. I mean, I know, you know, you probably could say more about that, but how is everything over there?
It's really quiet. It's Thursday night on the Avenue, and it's very slow. I'm sitting here in the Sausage Gallery, which is adjacent to the cafe, the Sausage Telegraph Cafe. I guess it's going to change. It's going to, by the time folks all get out here, it won't be Sausage anymore. It'll just be straight up the Telegraph Cafe, which they're cutting. That's right. She says they're cutting the sausage off. that'll be that. This is going to be one of the venues that hosts, you know, some of the crawl reads, and maybe even, if we're lucky, more than one. And yeah, it's been a productive night. We've been meeting right leading up to this little broadcast, talking about and been out recruiting venues, and you know, we've just landed the Bench and Bar and the Stork Club. And so it's, you know, and those are major venues. So it's going to be very interesting. We've identified places that are going to be opening that are not open yet, that are going to be opening before the crawl actually happens. And we're looking at places like that. That'll be looking to spark a little bit of their business that night. You know, it's just really interesting. It's a form of activism, really, to go out on your feet and go door-to-door to these various independent business owners and try to convince them that they should let a bunch of freaky writers in for an hour to ply their trade in performance. And in the meantime, convince them that, you know, this is somehow going to be good for their business. But obviously I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe it. But,
right.
You know, it's a good experience. It's a good experience in arts activism, let me tell you.
Well, we know you do believe it, and we know that you guys have been out there working really hard. And you know what? Pretend that I have absolutely no idea what a beast crawl is, what a lit crawl is, who the hell you know, freaks are out there, what the hell is going on. You know, pretend I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Okay.
What's a crawl?
Do I also have to explain to you what a pub crawl is?
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
right.
You
it's
know.
Not the same thing. It's not that. I'm sorry. It's not the same
yeah.
thing.
I don't know anything.
It's an artistic spin-off of the pub crawl. It's really more like a scavenger hunt. That's the beauty of it. A lit crawl is like a scavenger hunt, and where you have people who are fans, people who are out to see interesting readings, to engage in the visceral literary arts. Have choices, and they have a little map, and they have a little key guide. It's like the little Rosetta Stone that tells them what reading is happening at a certain place, and it's all within walking distance. It's all within. It's something that you can reach easily, and this is a kind of concept or an event that's been practiced in San Francisco for 12 years now, and they have 3 hours. It's basically 3 hours worth of readings, and we're going to have 3 hours worth of readings. Not nearly to the scale San Francisco does, because they have the experience. They just got their first NEA grant, so good for them. Congratulations to the San Francisco Litquake Committee and the San Francisco Litcrawl Committee for securing that money. It's hard to get NEA money these days, honestly.
Sure is.
But we don't have that kind of pretension here in Oakland. We're just starting out. We're just really identifying and beginning to build the literary identity of this city. Beyond there's no there, which is completely taken out of context anyway, regardless of your feeling that Gertrude might be, whether they be positive or negative, the fact of the matter is, for those of us that are living here, raising our families here, there is very much a here, and we want to establish this place as a haven, as a place, a destination for writers to come live their lives.
You don't see yourselves as like the backyard of San Francisco. You don't see yourself as the stepchild. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, you know, because Oakland does have its own identity, its own, you know, own artists, own writers, its own scene, its own identity. And I think that the more, you know, you organize things like this, I think the more people will realize, hey, you know what, there are things going on in other places. It's just a vibrant area geographically in general. I mean, you know, Berkeley, the whole Bay Area. I mean, but it isn't
right.
just San Francisco. I mean, you know, you guys
there was,
are out
you know,
there,
there was
showing
moment,
that.
You know, there was a moment that you had to choose between Berkeley and Oakland. Some people thought, you know, the Shattuck Drag would be the ideal place for this event. And maybe it is, but we felt like because of the energy we saw from the Art Murmur in the Uptown Oaksterdam area, we felt that it was a lot more conducive. You know, it's funny. A lot of these things are in backyards. We're not afraid to call ourselves the backyard. We think maybe because we feel like the backyard is a cooler place to hang out anyway. But the point is, I mean, what we have is a matter of some organization and people who are willing to, you know, allow this event to happen. And to show that we've got chops. We've got chops out here in the East Bay. And I've known that we've had chops for a long time. I'm ready to advertise it in my own way, at my own expense, at my own cost, because we're not doing any of this for money. We're not doing this for gain. We're doing this to blur lines within the community. That's far more important. And that's something that the city of Oakland has done very, very well for years and years, regardless of the reputation or what you hear reported in the news. It's one of the least segregated cities in the entire United States. And we're proud of that. We're very proud of that. But in any case, I'm not answering the question. I mean, to answer the question, and essentially a literary crawl is a series of readings that are staged, that are staggered over a series of hours. Each reading is itself only an hour long. And once that reading is over, then if you are the literary scavenger, you are then looking in your little book. You're looking at your map. You're looking at your program guide, deciding what reading am I going to go to next. But on the way to my reading, I'm going to stop for a burrito and get some drinks on the way because you want to take some time to relax. You want to, you know, you need to feed yourself. You need to sustain yourself. You need to get there. You need to get to where you're going. And then when you get there, to be comfortable and happy when you get to that place. And then when you get to that place, know that there is going to be, in fact, another quality reading happening. It's like, oh, my God, I've been to two quality readings in a row. What more could I possibly want? Oh, wait a minute. There's a third quality reading out there for me, and I have 10 to choose from for this third leg. And
What if I wanted sausage, though? No more.
Well, then maybe two readings was good enough for you, and you're ready for sausage. Then there are places you can get sausage.
I actually don't partake of sausage. However,
I've heard that.
I think the idea, and you know, I think a lot of us that I mean any a lot of us when we try to organize things and put things together, one of the things you really have to sell to everyone involved, all the different stakeholders, is that it really is, and I hate to use the phrase win-win because we all know it's an overused phrase, but that really does, you know. That really is the idea, that it's good for business, it's good for the community, it's good for the performers, it's good for, you know, it's good for everybody all around, you know.
All these funky little businesses to host us. We bring people in, they support the businesses, they in turn get a sense of their community, and we come away going like, wow, that was a great party, why don't we do that again?
Right. So, and you know, if anyone were to ask you a little bit about what the hell is going on with this beast crawl, I mean, you know, you can sort of direct them to your explanation here and say, you know what, you can download a podcast, a little MP3, and you can listen to it in your car while you drive to work and hear all about it. But, you know, there is a website which is beastcrawl.tumblr.com. And, you know, obviously you just put it in, you know, Google, just do, you know, beast crawl and you'll get it, you know, just do a search for it. And, you know, but just so people know that there is a website and there, you know, things are being updated all the time, different curators, different venues. And I imagine as you guys are getting closer, you're probably at the point where, you know, you're pretty much going to have this laid out pretty soon. A lot of details
like a month from now, we'll have a much better idea. I know there's people already chomping in the bit. They're like, where's our gig going to be? Where are we doing our reading at? Like, we don't know that yet. We have to plan. There's a lot of work that goes into this, and I don't know. We're all climbing the mountain together here.
Climbing the mountain, and yeah, that's. So you guys are so what we're sort of doing, I mean, you know, I guess we could say vicariously, you know, we're sort of peeking in a little bit on you guys tonight because you are.
Yeah.
You have concluded, I think, a planning meeting, and you've sort of gotten together with your different, you know, your little group of organizers, and you've been, I guess, shooting the breeze and hanging out, and
we're,
you know, how's that going?
Okay, we'll make allowances. Maybe we're towards the end. I'm not sure.
Right, but it's going well, though. You guys are feeling like you're getting things together.
Actually, I can't complain. It's been going very well tonight. We've got the amount of measurable progress we make from meeting to meeting continues to impress me. And we have a pretty good brain trust going here, and that's a big reason why we discovered today we could well be adding to our brain trust as we're learning, as we're making connections with various sponsors, Art Murmur sponsors who are supportive, and now the ladies of the Brain Trust are very excited because they've just picked up the Project U podcast, which they're now taking out to the rest of the restaurant on somebody else's phone. Isn't modern technology amazing? I feel like
it is.
Really,
you know,
Tracy.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a wonderful thing because, you know, you can, you know, the days of the limits of radio and geography, I mean, you know, we really have an unprecedented opportunity because of the fact that we can stream over the internet. I mean, I can be here in Pittsburgh, you know, in my pajamas, you know, at midnight, and there you guys are out there planning something important, and you know it really is pretty cool that we can do that, and that we can have this kind of discussion. And the other thing is, you know, and I know because of different things that you guys have worked on together. I mean, I think also this speaks to the group that you have, the work group, the fact that you're putting this together, because, you know, these are good people. These are people that have been putting things together for a while. So, yeah, I mean, what can you say about the crew?
I don't know. I don't know that we have. that's an awful lot of credit you're giving us for something that I'm
not
sure we've earned.
A little bit, yeah. You know,
we're in some ways we're reinventing the wheel here. Because I'm the one who has experience producing readings over the last 3 to 4. I mean, really, I've experienced producing readings over the last 10 years or 11 years. It's funny because I have with me here tonight Mr. Arnie Passman, who was, you might remember when you were out here, Lynn, back in August of 2010, and we were at Pirate Cat Radio. Right. I ran into, you know, the guy who was promoting the takeover, the retaking of the 9/11. What the meaning of 9/11 was. Well, he happened to come here tonight, and I think he thought it was. I think he thought we were having an open mic, and so I feel bad that Arnie came all the way down from Berkeley to hang out at the Telegraph Cafe. But you know, we might have to bring him on in a little bit.
Sure. You know what? Hey, you can decide to have an open mic anywhere, anytime. You know, that's one of the things.
I have a message
about
on the
it.
Other side.
But, oh, hold on. One second.
The bartender says drink more beer.
Drink more beer. And then we're getting a message to drink more beer from the bartender. And tell him that I will be right there with that. But, yeah.
See, it's live action. It's like you're really there. We have bartenders talking.
We're supporting the Telegraph Cafe, which is also one of the finest sausage cafes here on Telegraph, and you know, they've got a great beer garden that's outdoors, and they've got this fantastic gallery on the other side, which has just got portrait after portrait of dead rock stars. I'm particularly taken with the portrait of Buddy Holly with the Cessna plane reflected in his eyeglasses. It's very haunting, and I promise to take a picture of it and send it out, and hopefully that'll get reposted on Facebook. I would, if it's okay with you, Lynn, like to bring in Missy here to talk a little bit about what we're doing and part of the idea, because she's got a perspective that I don't necessarily, and I appreciate so much. I mean, she's one of our key organizers, and I appreciate so much of her sensibility and what she brings to the campaign, and it is a campaign. It's almost like a religious campaign, and this is one of our high priestesses. So with your kind permission, I'd like to bring her on.
All right, absolutely.
Hello, Lynn.
Hi, long time no see. How are you guys out there?
Good. It's very, very nice to hear your voice.
You guys are doing all kinds of work out there. And so we have been assembling, a little posse of people that are coming out there, so you will have a whole bunch of out-of-towners descending on your event in July. A lot of people are coming out, and we're excited about it. So that's one of the reasons. I mean, we really just want to hear about what you guys are doing and how it's going. This whole beast thing, we want to hear about it.
Well, I have to tell you, I have been washing sheets for your arrival. So we've got, you know, couches, futons, or whatnot. You can kick my toddler out of his bed. It's all good. So we're ready for y'all.
Oh, my gosh. He was a little tiny baby when I was out there.
I know. I remember.
Gosh,
I
can't believe it.
He's a little freak in nature now, just walking around talking about every single thing he sees. But, yeah, we still have yet to get the word beast into his vocabulary. So, you know, because he's got to work it in the preschool, you know. The beast is coming. Got to get the little guys, too. But
right, well, get them when they're young.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. You've got to dement them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, they can be propaganda machines, the little ones, you know. You can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they repeat stuff. That's a cool thing.
Right, right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you guys are at the Telegraph, and you're putting things together out there.
We are, and, you know, it's funny because it's so bizarre, like, with real time. I mean, I know Paul was talking about, you know, we're on the phone in one room and then we're in the other room listening. So there's a delay. There's about a one-minute delay. And we were also just sitting here talking, and we're like, you know, okay, so here are all of our curators. We have 23 curators. So each curator is going to bring, you know, 5 to 6, maybe 8 readers. And so Holly and I were talking, and we're like, oh, what about Scott? And she's like, well, let me call him. So she calls him, and she's like, oh, it's this and that and whatever. And I'm on the spreadsheet adding Scott's name. It's like, oh, my God, now we have 24. We have 24 humans curating, and each of them are bringing, like, 5 to 8 people. It's getting crazy in a cool way, but it's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. It's a lot of, I mean,
yeah,
a lot of venues, a lot of, yeah. But you know what? It's cool because, you know what, the other thing is, you know, like we were saying, it brings people to the businesses, and it's it really is a good thing for the community too. We're actually Philip Crow and Red Fez are actually going to be, as you know, we're doing, we're bringing people out too, and we're going to all be able to hang out. And I mean, I don't know what'll happen after. I imagine there'll be an after party as well.
Oh, my God. There's going to be an orgy of words and writers. It's going to be nasty. It's going to, I mean, people better bring cameras because shit's going to go down. I mean, S-H-I-T is going to go down. But, yeah, so there, you know, there's 3 legs. So there's 5 to 6. 6:30 to 8. Is that right? No. 6:30, 7:30, and then 8 to 9. And then at 9:30, that's the after party. And what we're kind of guessing is that's when all of us people who have been, you know, schlepping like little monkeys and making people go here and there and cleaning up after everyone leaves and making things great, that's our time to be drinking and reading and everything. And surprisingly, there have been, I think, at least 2 businesses who are willing to open the doors to us. And the cool, cool thing, all of these guys are like, sure, come in, whatever, for free. I mean, of course, they're going to make money off of drinks or food or whatever, but they're completely opening their doors to crazy poets and writers. Like, I don't know if they know what they're getting into, but wonderful and great. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I'm sure, and, you know, I'm sure they, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they recognize that, you know, yeah, it helps to support you guys, and it helps to support them. I mean, you need to do that with businesses. That's cool. It sounds like a lot is going to be going on.
For sure.
Yeah, and I can't believe how many just different people are involved in this. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of us are looking forward to coming out there. I mean, I have my plane ticket. I am set. I am definitely coming, and I know a whole bunch of people that are. I know a group that are they're driving out from, you know, across country, so they will be showing up for that. And just different presses and just different, just representing all different, you know, different kinds of people too, different kinds of publications and different kinds of writers and, you know, the diversity. I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a really cool thing and something that I hope you guys do next year. I know you don't want to think about that yet.
I think we have to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something that, you know, well, once I guess you sort of have a blueprint in place, I mean, and you realize the best way to get things done, I imagine next year will be that much easier. You can go from there. So the first year, I think, will be the hardest. I'm sure you guys will pull it off.
Yeah, I agree. I think as well next year and the year after, people will maybe come to us rather than, you know, us having to beat down doors and prove ourselves and things like that. So, and, you know, you talking about people flying out and coming out. So, you know, every month I do the Naked Bulb still, but what people have been doing lately is camping out in my backyard. So if you're listening, anybody, you can camp out in my backyard. Like, you know, I think we could fit 15 tents tight. 10 comfortably, but yeah, if people bring 10, you've got a yard. And
well, you know what, it might come to that, because you know how it is. A lot of people, you know, they're doing their best to get out there, and it's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard. It's hard to travel. I mean, the expense and the logistics, the difficulty of it. I mean, it's, you know, so that's wonderful that you guys are sort of welcoming, you know, all of us freaks from around, you know, the U.S. You know, we're all going to sort of converge together, and who knows what'll go down. I mean, gosh. But I imagine a lot will that week, definitely. So, yeah.
Really? Yeah. So, honestly, if you, I mean, send that out, we're very open to having people over. No worries.
Right, no, I will. Yeah, I will spread that around, and, you know, I'm sure, because it's just, you know how these things are. It kind of gets bigger and bigger, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we get closer, we're, I guess, you know, that you'll probably you'll have people take you up on that.
Good.
And are you, I mean, I don't know when you have the next Naked Bulb, but it won't probably coincide with that particular week, I wouldn't think.
Oh, dear God, no.
Because, I mean, I imagine you have enough on your plate with doing all of this that you don't, you know, it'd be very difficult to throw that into it also. But, yeah, I mean, that's cool. Good stuff going on out there.
And your venue's on Thursday night, right?
Right, yeah, we're doing Toxic Abatement, and, yeah, that's, you know, I just actually played Three Times Bad Band, because they're going to be there as well. So I just, you know, I thought I'd throw up a track by them that just to sort of, you know, get us going, you know, at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. There are just so many things to be excited about. It's like a whole week of just great stuff going on and great people. And, you know, I mean, I have to say, you know, I appreciate what you guys are doing out there, and it sounds like a lot of hard work. And so anything, you know, you need people out there to do, I mean, you know, let us know. I mean, we can, you know, do our best from here to spread it and, you know, yeah.
Thank
I mean,
you.
If you can think
Thank
of
you.
Things, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are excited and are going to come there and support it. So, yeah. So you guys are at the Telegraph, right? You're having like a powwow, little planning
meeting.
Yeah.
Right. Well, computers and pens and wine and beer and yeah.
All right. No, that's cool. I mean, and I think it's great that, I mean, I think it was a great idea, you know, that, you know, for Paul to sort of, you know, have like a live action situation. So, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
I guess.
It was fun.
Yeah, I don't know.
if he's I think he, I don't know if he wanted to like pass it around or if you, you know, he wanted to, I don't know. I don't know what he has in store. I don't want to speak for him. I don't know if he had a plan.
Yeah. Well, I've put my germs on his phone, so I'll let him decide who gets the next little
All right,
germ.
Well, picture. Great to talk to you, and thank you.
You too, and I'm so glad to talk to you. And I'll see you, and definitely you guys have a spot at our house. Don't worry about,
you
know, hotels
you.
And crazy business like that. No Motel 6 for you. No.
Well, thank you, and right. thank you for talking about the Beast Crawl. And that was Missy Church.
And I'm back.
Hi, I wasn't sure if you needed to, I didn't really know what your agenda was, so I wasn't sure if you guys needed to get back to your planning or you know, or what. I mean, I certainly, don't want to be.
No, we're here for the show. We have run of the gallery right now. It's basically the four of us here sitting in the gallery. And Arnie's going off to the boys' room, or he's heading out to check out some of the art. I mean, did I say that we were surrounded by dead rock stars? Like, he's closing the door to the bathroom. The view of the porcelain god is considered bad luck by some. Considered good luck by me in general, but
good luck by you in general. So you guys
it's
are.
Know, it's good to know that there's an orifice waiting to, you know, manage our orifices. You know what I'm saying?
Right, sort of, to some degree.
I'm driving people out of the gallery now. That's I've successfully driven people into the porcelain orifice.
Into the porcelain orifice? Is that what you said?
The porcelain orifice, yeah.
The porcelain
orifice. It's more of an orifice than an office, I would say.
An orifice. Okay, that's cool. You know,
Does that sound like the name of a literary magazine, Porcelain Orifice?
It does. Actually, you know what? If it isn't already, it should be. It should be.
If it isn't already, it probably is already.
Well, you know what? Might be something to start. And certainly many of us have, been at the mercy in a drunken state.
No, not in the Zaytsev community. You don't mean it.
No.
Certainly
no,
not.
Never.
No, nobody drinks excessively in that group.
No, that would never happen.
Suggest such a thing.
Well, like I've said, our show, if nothing else, is about family values, and you know, we would like it to be known that the views of the freaks and, you know. You know, those hippies out on the West Coast do not reflect the values of the people, the good people at Project U Radio, because we are a chaste, good sort of, we're good folk. And, we just do not condone some of the,
Rick
it's
Santorum
like a hotbed of
up
sin
the
out there.
But we haven't given up on Rick Santorum. No, we haven't.
No.
That comment got some looks here. You should have seen that one.
No, yes. In fact, Project U Radio is, a proud supporter of Rick Santorum and all of the good that he's done for the world and will continue to do. Yeah, mad props. So what exactly, tell us a little bit about what's going on there. I mean, are you going to put the phone down on the floor and spin it around and let the forces
I'm going to turn you over to one of our other members of the Brain Trust here, Ms. Holly Hardy, who will answer any questions you have about the venue or the event, because she's a key member of the Brain Trust, and what you're getting here tonight is all the pieces of the Brain Trust that exist as they are tonight. And that's a passing on crawl and fest information to the larger, which is important to say that both all three periodicals, Full of Crow, Red Fez, and Zygote and My Coffee, are all going to be represented in this particular crawl. I think it's important to say that. But with that in mind, let me pass.
Well,
I
enjoy when you say that.
When I say what?
I enjoy when you mention that, of course. You know, because I'm self-serving. I'm a I'm an asshole.
We all are. Oh, congratulations! Welcome to the club. Okay, I'm going to introduce the producer of the Saturday night special and one of the editors from 14 Hills, Ms. Holly Hardy.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello. We are, you know, I don't know if he's explained who we are and what we're doing, but we do a weekly show. We are Project U Radio, and we do this every Thursday. God knows why, but we do. And so Paul got this idea that he would sort of bring us, you know, like kind of a voyeuristic thing into your meeting and your planning and your beast gathering. And so I guess we were just speaking with Missy, and you know, what are your expectations? I mean, this is going to be a hell of a party. It sounds like a hell of a lot of good, you know, good performers, good venues. It just sounds like a great thing going on out there.
Yeah, it's going to be a great thing. Everything that we do is a great thing. This is the Bay Area. There are so many wonderful things happening in Oakland, and the food scene is amazing, and the art scene is amazing, and we just thought, man, we deserve to have a fantastic literary scene here. We shouldn't have to go to the city for this, and so we're bringing it. We're at the ground level. We're starting this grassroots thing, and it's going to take off. It's going to be on fire, and we're just bringing in all the most amazing people. I think if you're a writer or a poet or a fiction writer or any kind of writer, there's no better place to be a writer than in the Bay Area. I mean, New York or Brooklyn, this is the place to be. There's so many diverse ways to be a part of this community, and so we're trying to feature all of that with the Beast Crawl.
Right. Well, you're certainly doing a lot of work and doing a great job with it. And it sounds like the businesses and the different venues and different locations, that they've been pretty receptive. I mean, are they... You know, do they seem to be on board with all of this, and they're happy to be participating? I mean, like, what's the response? I mean, I don't know if you mind me asking. I mean, has the response been pretty positive?
Well, I've been living in Oakland for 21 years, and I've been living during those 21 years in my same apartment for 15 years. And this Uptown Oakland, this amazing neighborhood that I now live in, wasn't so amazing 15 years ago when I stepped in. But it's been rising up around us. It's the reason why the New York Times said that Oakland is the number 5 most important place to visit this year, is because this particular place where the Beast Crawl is going to take place, Uptown, has just burgeoned out and become the best place to be. And so I, having been here this long, when these guys invited me on, when Missy and Paul Corman Roberts asked me to curate, I realized I had all these connections because I've lived in the neighborhood for so long. I know, you know, being a drinker, all of the bar owners. And I know all of the restaurant owners. And I know the people that own the tattoo shops and the cafes. And so it seems easy for me to say, hey, friends, can we host a reading in your spot? We'll totally promote you. It'll be amazing. People will rush in. They'll hear this free event, and they'll buy drinks at your establishment. And they say, yeah, of course. What can we do? Should we provide free refreshments?
Nice.
So it's been great. It's the reception, the answer to your question is that the reception has been mind-blowingly excellent. And I think next year, I mean, if you just look at Art Murmur, you're not from here, you don't know, but once a month, 4,000 people descend upon this 6-block radius. And they come to look at art, and they come to buy food from the food trucks, they come to socialize, they come because Oakland is the place to be. And the art is the reason, but the community is also the reason. And so we're just giving this community one more reason to have amazing people in this spot that is Oakland, that has had this bad reputation for so long. And it deserves something better. It really does.
No, you're absolutely, I mean, and you really said it so well, the spirit. I mean, I really think, you know, you captured really the spirit of what you guys are doing and the bigger picture of it. You know, and my mind is kind of wandering a little bit to the tattoo parlor idea, because I've always said, you know, for years now, I've always said, you know what, how badass would it be to have a reading in a tattoo shop and actually, like, get a tattoo while it was going on? You know, that's like, I don't know, like a fantasy I have or something. You know, I don't know what it is, but I've always wanted to do that. I've always thought, you know, that would just be like, you know, just a really cool thing to do. So, are, I mean, I'm just curious, are there any, I mean, we think of venues, we think of, you know, bars, we think of bookshops, we think of, you know, cafes, but are there any sort of non-traditional places that we'll be hosting at this point? Or?
Well, Inkwell Tattoo Parlor is, they were one of the first people to say, hell yes. Am I allowed to say that on the radio? Heck yes.
Oh, if they anything. Yeah, you could, yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. Anyways, those guys, they host the Art Murmur. They're going to host us. They're friends of mine. They're totally hot dudes that run that place. They have a pool table in there. You could get a tattoo, listen to a reading, look at some art, and play some pool all at once, and probably get a free drink just because it's that nice. So they're going to be one of our venues. But we're also looking at places like the Great Wall. I was just sending them an email while Missy was talking to you. They are a spot on the corner of Broadway and Grand Avenue, which has hosted this beautiful wall, and they show films during the Art Murmur for free. People just come by and watch the films. And sometimes they close the street down. They must get permits. And people bring lawn chairs and picnics, and they sell wine on the street. And they have, like, a dance troupe doing, like, performances on ropes on the wall, like Cirque du Soleil-style stuff. So I'm going to reach out to them and see if they want to have a reading in their parking lot. There's a quarter-pound burger down the street from them. They're, like, an old drive-in-style theater. Like a burger place where you go after you've been drinking all night long. And they've been struggling, but I know that sometimes they have classic car shows in their parking lot for fun, and people come and hang out, and they'll let us have a reading there. So little places like that, places on the corner of the Veterans Building, places like cafes, gallery spaces. There's a porn shop that's a woman-owned, a lesbian woman-owned, amazing, beautiful gallery and porn store called Feel Good, downtown Oakland, that's going to host a sexy, sexy reading. It should be fun. And Oaklandish, which is,
Wait, hold on, I'm writing
Oakland's
that down.
Mascot. Right? Yeah, go
ahead. I said I'm writing that down. I'm taking notes as you're. I'm taking notes as you're.
And you're
going
to get to have a map with a list of all the places, so you won't miss out on any of that.
Right.
And I'm probably Oaksterdam, the pot college of Oakland. They're going to host something for us. And Oaksterdam of the famous Oakland, I Hella Heart Oakland tree mascot will probably put some youth spoken word stuff in there because that's what they're good at. So I think we're really reaching out to every single spot in the community that wants to host us, and I think you'd be surprised about some of the places that say yes.
Right, that's great. That's amazing. You guys are just doing so much. I mean, I'm really excited. I mean, like I was saying, we have we have a bunch of people from all over that are going to be flying in, and I'm just, you know, I'm kind of like looking at it like, hey, you know what, I get to, you know, experience all of this with a whole bunch of my friends, you know, some of my closest friends in the whole world, all in one spot. You know, we're all, like I said, we're going to sort of converge there on your events, and, you know, it's cool because I feel like I get to sort of, you know, some of the people that are coming have never been out there and really are not familiar with a lot of what you guys are doing. This will be like their first, you know, their first crawl, you know, literary event, really. And, you know, it's like, wow.
Probably
we get
also
to
be the best food they ever ate while they're here,
yeah.
Too.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, what a cool thing to, you know, to do with a group of like 10, you know, 20 friends. I mean, you know, we have a lot of people flying in, and every day we're, you know.
Oh, I might have lost her.
Enthusiasm and the, you know,
oh,
the excitement
okay.
about it is, you know, you guys are doing a good thing out there. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you guys again. And, yeah, that's good. And I do appreciate you kind of, you know, giving us the rundown of what we can expect. And, yeah, I mean, I think, and I mentioned the website and that you guys are going to be sort of adding things over the coming weeks. So, yeah, I mean, thank you very much. Thanks for telling us everything and for describing everything, because it just sounds like you guys have really covered a tremendous amount of ground. I mean, my gosh. Okay, well, thank you very much. I guess I don't know if Paul is has anything,
yeah,
because we have a couple
Paul,
minutes.
You know,
yeah, we have. Thank you, and we only have a couple minutes left.
So,
I don't know.
It was nice chatting with you. Let me give you back to Paul.
Ah, thank you so much.
All right, here you go.
Hello.
Hello. We have about 10 minutes left of our live streaming, if that. And so I wasn't sure if you had, you know, any sort of closing information or, I mean, that was really a lot of wonderful information. And, you know, she really, really ran through what you guys are trying to do out there. I mean.
She gets it. She's part of the brain trust.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, but that's part of it. Part of it, I mean, you can only get so far if you don't have a team of people that, you know, where you're all on the same page, you know. Or mostly on the same page. I mean, obviously, you know, you won't be on every issue.
And if we're not, we all have a couple of drinks together, and then we are.
Right. I mean, I didn't know if you had any other plans for this evening. I mean, you know, I mean, are you outside? Are you inside? Are you guys actually?
We've been inside because it's been a little bit chilly outside.
Chilly. It was like 100 degrees there, wasn't it, the other day when you had Naked Bulb?
Yeah. The Naked Bulb. That was Saturday. Now we're on what? We're on Thursday. So that was 4 days ago. You have to realize the temperature can change 25 degrees in one day here. That's the thing. It isn't that we have terrible weather. We don't. It can be a little bit cold. It can be a little bit hot. It's always just nice enough. It's never terrible. It's rarely terrible. But the amount of variance in temperature that you can get from day to day is psychotic. And we have our weather. Basically, the thing about the Bay Area is that the weather is on drugs. Our weather is on drugs. And it's on drugs all the time, and
it
probably reflects the populace in a lot of ways.
It's a contact high from the population, maybe.
From just the rays of the sun breaking through in the morning, those first photons which come in through your bedroom window and hammer your eyelids open, we get contact highs off of that.
I see. You know, that brings to mind. I mean, is anybody reading anything tonight, or you weren't really planning to do that?
I think Arnie has something he wants to read. Would you like to have Arnie read something to close?
Yeah,
us out?
I mean, I think in the spirit of, you know, the poetry
All right,
community.
I'll put him on. You can talk to him for a little bit, but I think he's got something in mind. He thought he was coming to an open mic, so we want to hook him up. We want to take care of our man. So. Hold on just a minute. This is a guy I used to work with at Frontline Campaigns in Berkeley back in the 90s. You know, a left-wing moment. We raised money for progressive nonprofit organizations, and this guy goes back to the day. He was just telling me how the first acid he'd ever taken in his life was given to him by Dr. Johnny Fever, the actor, Howard Hessman. And he's a lifelong aficionado of DJs and jazz DJs. I mean, this is a guy who knows beat. This is a beat guy. He's a deadbeat. So he straddles the lines. He straddles cultures, but he's a fantastic writer. I'm going to put him on right now. Hold on just a second.
Wonderful.
Okay. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, and good evening to you guys out there in Oakland at the Telegraph. It blows my mind the way that we can actually accomplish these things where, you know, we have people all over.
Of course, this is where the word phony comes from. From the phone. No eye contact. It's true.
Right.
I take that back. Anyways, how are you?
Good, wonderful. I was thinking that in the spirit of, you know, talking about, you know, the poetry community and all of this wonderful stuff they have and that they're planning, I thought maybe someone...
Oh, yeah.
Might have something they could read or share or
I can do,
you know.
That's what I thought I was gonna do when I came down here. Anyway,
I've just come out
with a book of 40 years of work called Climbing What Everest, and I'll read a poem, okay?
Wonderful.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I call for a Sanhedrin, Politburo diet of our greatest hallucinators to gather on our Pacific beaches on the new moons to demystify Mediterranean astronomy until the stars our left coast renamed for ours. For example, to Nathaniel Mackey through John Gilmore, I am 8,500 feet up in a golden pattern in my moored Sierra Nevada summer of 99. After midnight, my mushroom chef's hat pops up and on, and I hear Ertone in the top of the ninth, because I'm top of the nth, because I'm on the road. Space is the place. Heaven, sky at one, Celestella's muster and cluster around the most master's luna luminous punim, Yiddish for face, that our gent can only be the face of Sun Ra. 2000, the last days of the following winter in the Santa Cruz Mountains, I witnessed the soul same, and never again so far, just the perfect pinch of millennium. This cluster is known as Coma Berenices from Egyptian mythology, but we need to redefine it. Over and out.
Did you say the perfect pinch of millennium?
Yes.
Wonderful.
You can only have so much millennium in your diet.
Right. No, thank you very much. That was wonderful. Are we?
You want to hear another great millennium story?
Sure.
Do you know what amaranth is?
No.
Amaranth is a plant, but it's also the sacred grain of the Aztecs.
Okay.
Loaded with protein, and a lot of those grains are made for fiercer warriors. So when the Spanish came here, they banned amaranth. They used to eat it. There's strange stories about amaranth. They say it was made into those little, like, Mexican little doll cookies, you know, with honey and even human blood, I've been told, but I don't know. But anyway, so they banned amaranth because it was a powerful weapon of the Aztecs. But the amaranth got secreted and cultivated back in the deepest canyons, so that now you can buy amaranth in, like, Berkeley. They brought it back, and if that isn't a millennium resurrection, I don't know what is. It was gone for 400 years, and now, you know, we can all have it. And my last word on amaranth was, the first time I ate it, I could feel it make muscle. So a lot of these native things are just have to come back.
Right. What do you think was what was so threatening about it? I mean, it was just.
Well, I think it was maybe like Coke. I never found anything more about it. And I wrote it to a Mexican poet who was starting to do stuff on native, and I never heard back from him. I think it's without. Yeah, I think it was very strengthening, very, 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 very strengthening.
Right. Well, you know, there have been cultures, and this is what it sort of makes me think of, there have been cultures where their musical instruments have been taken away, cultures where their drums have been taken away because of the fact that it's, you know, it's a way to be, you know, to oppress and to take the spirit away from people. And so I wonder if that's part of the reason that there was something, you know,
I think it was a little more. You know, I have no. I should find out. I think
right.
it was. Just
yeah.
A,
no. See now.
It was perfectly natural for them, but you know, when these winos showed up from Spain.
Right. See now, I will be looking some of this up because I'm very curious about it now.
And also, you should also look up because I'm the I've organized a celebration of the peace symbol's birthday, which is February 21st. And I call that the Nth of Aquarius because it fits in perfectly with, you know, it's with the end of Aquarius. So I call it the Nth of Aquarius. But go to Google and punch up the and pull up the peace symbol, and you'll see how it got started. It would make a great movie. It's really quite a story.
Right. And before, you know what, we have about, we have a couple of seconds left, but will you be around during the Beast Crawl? Are you planning to make it out for that?
Well, yeah, I'm just telling Paul I have this fantasy because I've written, I'll sing you the first verse of my song, occupying everywhere from Tahrir Square to the Big Rock Candy Mountain. On the journey from Zuccotti through the belly of the rotten, chattered every water fountain. Well, there are three Big Rock Candy Mountains in the West, Utah, Colorado, and Washington. And I'm mulling a road trip from the solstice through the 4th of July to catch them all. And if I get that, well, I'm an old man. Who knows what's going to happen to me any moment? But I hope to get to the Beast Crawl. I thought it was called the Peace Crawl. I'm listening to all this stuff. So let me pass you back and thank you.
Well, thank you, and I hope we meet you, and I hope you know that.
Likewise.
I mean, we have a lot of events that week, and you're welcome to come hang out with
here.
A bunch of us. Thank you very much.
All right, here's Paul again.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is this the musical place?
We're calling here.
Hello.
Okay, Paul, we are out of time. We've got 2 seconds, and we're in
archive.
So I guess we're gonna have to end our show, and I will repeat the website address again, just really quickly, and that will be updated, but that's beastcrawl.tumblr.com, and it's
beastcrawl.com.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it, and I know that it's been updated, and like I said, I imagine that as you guys get closer, you know, it'll have even more information on there.
Just the meeting tonight, the amount of information that we're going to be updating based on our meeting alone tonight is just, I mean, we're, you know, it's what keeps us excited. It's what keeps us going. And we're feeling really good about it. And I want to thank you for allowing us to do this tonight,
for allowing us to
have this experiment in live promotion and live art simultaneously. I mean, everybody out here is finding a way to work on it and finding a way to do it. And it's just really great that you were able to give us an hour to have this moment to have this serendipitous moment where it all comes together. And I mean, if tonight is a sign, if tonight is a harbinger of what is to come, then I'm just getting that much more excited.
Right. No, me too. And I'm looking forward to being out there. A lot of people are coming. A lot of local people will be out there supporting it. And, you know, what I would like to do is actually after the show, maybe, you know, next week is even transcribe some of the different comments and material. And just because I think, you know, I think that you guys did an excellent job, really, of kind of off the cuff explaining, you know, the vision here. And so I think it would be interesting to sort of, you know, cull some of the comments and transcribe a little bit of what you guys talked about and, you know, spread the word about it. So I do appreciate your willingness to try this experiment in sort of real-time meeting and radio. And I will let you get back to your planning and your and get your sausages while you can, because thank you, you know, thank you to the Telegraph and thank you to everybody out there. Okay, good night.
Good night.
And once again, this was Project U Radio, and we are part of the Literary Underground, and this show has been from the Telegraph out in Oakland, discussing The Beast Crawl, which will be in July. And you can, like I said, check it out on the web and, you know, come out, be a part of it. There's a bunch of stuff going on that week, and yeah, it's, you know, wonderful effort going on out there. Okay, thank you very much.